A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hem och Strage presenteras i samarbete med Nordic Spirit True White, den tobaksfria nikoprillan.
Hello, this is Nergal from Behemoth and I'm in the studio or home studio, I'd say, of Fredrik Strage, Fredrik Bloodbath. Probably a descendant of famous Vlad Tepes, because that's what your last name suggests. It's a very bloody last name. Anyways, I'm overwhelmed by this place. I've already mentioned and complimented the building, how beautiful it is, how stunning it is, and also the content of this apartment is just wow. I love it. I'm already like super jealous all these books and LP collection, really good taste. David Bowie, The Cramps, Vatain. That's exactly what my taste is. And I love your shirt too, because
Thank you, Nergal. Yeah, what am I wearing?
You're wearing a Laibach shirt from it's not really a good record, but Laibach is an amazing band and. And I'm friends with them. Friends is a big word, but I'm friends with Gregor, who's manager, and I've met them a couple of times. Really cool and friendly people. We've even been talking about eventual collaboration with Behemoth. But they're very difficult to approach, and they're very particular when it comes to, working with other artists.
So they're a bit like Kraftwerk in that aspect,
I suppose. Yes, and I like what they could eventually do is probably like remix one of our songs or maybe two songs, but they are not, I'd be up for something more, like something deeper, something more engaging, but I don't know, maybe one day, hopefully.
How was your flight here?
It was yesterday, it was smooth, it was fast, but I was drained as fuck, you know, because I came to this press tour, which has started in Helsinki yesterday, after festival season. So I came straight from France, I believe, hardly any sleep, some nap on the plane, and I was a wreck 2 days before. I had a decent sleep, whole day work yesterday in Helsinki, and now whole day of work here in Stockholm.
I read this really funny passage in your book, Confessions of a Heretic, where you talk about how much you hate people who clap their hands when the plane has landed. And you claim that only Polish people do that. I've actually seen Swedes do that as well when they come home from, you know, Mallorca or something. They clap their hands. A big round of applause for the pilot.
Jesus fucking Christ, you know. And like, I remember that I wrote that, like, I mean, if you're on a bus, you know, do you also clap, you know, when you get to the bus and stop?
Yeah,
I mean,
didn't like the entire Polish government die in a plane crash a few years back? Maybe that's why happy when they land.
It was way before, like this stupid tradition, you know, it has started way before. But, you know, that's how I see that. They're like, oh, shit, we are alive. You know, this time we are lucky. That's exactly how I see that, you know. And like, no, you're not lucky. You are in good hands, you know, because pilots are supposed to get you safely from point A to point B in one piece. So fucking don't clap, because you know they don't even hear it. And that's said officially. They never hear it. So who are you clapping for?
How does the Catholic Church feel about your new single, God Equals Dog?
I hope they're, because it's sold out, so I really hope, you know, that like they all bought it out, you know. So our fans, there's nothing left for our fans.
I read this very optimistic comment on YouTube where someone, you know, just pointed out that, after all, a dog is a man's best friend. So it's not something negative towards God. He's our best friend.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, the meaning behind the title and the approach to the title is way deeper than how people perceive that. But it's also pretty entertaining to read the comments and to see how people play with it. So, I mean, like, there's nothing wrong, really. I mean, I was referring to the Aleister Crowley's quote that we actually use in a song that goes like that. Is a god to live in a dog? No, but the highest are of us. And I just found it very inspiring. And that's how I decided, you know, to use God Equals Dog as a title. But then people, you know, I mean, it's funny, you know, how it stirred up in so much controversy because of the title. It's weird, you know. I mean, I think the title actually brought more confusion than the song and the video itself, which is weird. As
I wipe my pain. I asked you to bring a few songs with you.
Sure. This is Midnight Choir, Mercy of Maria.
Before we start, I'm just going to put in a pouch of tobacco-free snus from Nordic Spirit True White, our sponsors. As I walk away, there's nothing to do but pray that Maria will take me in her arms. I'm not familiar with that band. Where are they from?
I don't know. but I'll tell you a funny story, okay? I believe they're from Benelux or Netherlands. I'm guessing. I might be wrong. I believe there's an album called Life in Amsterdam or something, so I'm guessing maybe they are from that part of the world. The song is just, you know, touches my heart, and it just, it's beautiful voice, and not only the song, you know, just you know, go further and listen to more of their stuff. It's amazing. But lately, I've had this project with a guy called John Porter. The project is called Me and That Man.
Yeah.
And John Porter is an English guy. He's almost 70 now. He's lived in Poland for like over 30 years now, and his ex-wife is a Polish pop star. And I remember like 2 years ago, I posted this on my Facebook and he made a comment, it was a direct private message to me. Well, remember when I told you that my wife, you know, cheated on me? Yeah, she did it with the guy who produced that song. But no hard feelings. It's kind of funny. But anyways, I love this song. I mean, it's so good. You actually left the Catholic Church six or seven years ago. Yep.
In Sweden, if you want to leave the church, you just fill out a form and that's that. But it seems to be a bit more complicated than Poland.
Yeah, first of all, you're a way more secular country and way more civilized in many ways. And we are very backward thinking, very, very conservative. We're deeply rooted in a bad conservative traditions. And that binds us with church for good and bad. And if you want to abandon church, if you want to withdraw from this institution, that takes some serious effort. So I was, it took me months of just going forth and backwards, you know, to like different places, churches, office, church offices, and talking through, you know, several people, church people, priests, and going through interviews. Because number one rule for a priest when he confronts apostasy or a person who wants to commit apostasy, because that's a term of the...
Apostasy is leaving the church.
Yeah, it's leaving the church, is to stop you from doing that. So there, that is a rule, you know. I mean, he must have an interview with you and he must persuade you not to leave the church. Because the first thing he said to me is like, are you aware of the fact that when doing that means that you burn bridge with the church forever? And I replied with a huge smile on my face, I hope so. That's how our conversation started. So, yeah, but I managed and I succeeded and I'm really happy and I really advise everyone to, you know, I just found it problematic, you know, and I just found like a credibility crisis, you know, when I am who I am and I do what I do for a living and I stand behind what I say and what I do in life and in art and on stage, off stage. And I'm still in statistics, you know. I'm still a statistic Catholic, you know. So when you hear that like 98% of Polish society is Catholic, does it really mean that it's that many religious people there? No. It just means that like most of the people are not even aware they're counted in. I just didn't want to be that. So I want, you know.
Having to go for interviews like that and them trying to convince you not to leave the church, it's almost like when, you know, if you're a woman and you want to have an abortion, and then in some states in the US you have to go to meetings where they show you pictures of aborted fetuses to, you know, stop you from having the abortion.
I mean, like now I think the Polish law is 100% against abortion, so there's no interviews in Poland. You know, you if you're a doctor, if you do abortion, if you run woman through abortion surgery, you probably end up in jail. But that's again, you know, it's a tax you have to pay, you know, on our politics, on where we are now, I mean, politically speaking.
In your room, the time stands still.
This is In Your Room by Depeche Mode.
Oh, that's one of my favorite bands.
We let the morning come soon.
I've seen them on the recent tour like a couple of times. I can never get bored with them. It's like, I got this with some of the bands, you know, like Guns N' Roses, Depeche Mode, Slayer, Metallica. I always go back there like a boomerang, you know, to see their shows, and it always does the same to me. It just brings something like, something very special in my system, and I just get so inspired, so high, so to say. And if you haven't seen this recent tour, Anton Corbijn did like an extra video clips that you, I mean, because obviously there's a video clip to In Your Room, which is amazing, from
with a chair, sitting chained to a chair.
But for just for the touring purposes, he did extra clips for the songs. So In Your Room has a different video clip.
Yeah, like two dancers in a room, right? It's a beautiful ballet.
This is amazing.
It's really, really good.
This is amazing. And I don't know if you remember, there's another video that's even more touching. It's Walking in My Shoes. Remember about this transvestite just getting ready?
Oh, yeah, transvestite getting ready to go
fucking
out.
Fucking hell, that's so touching. That's
actually,
so,
you know, I was more impressed by Anton Corbijn's work on this tour than by the actual music. But it was, you know, visual-wise, it was really good.
Your favorite smile. Your favorite slave. Skin, will I always be here?
So now you've played Mercy of Maria and a track from Songs of Faith and Devotion. It's very nice of you to bring Christian uplifting music here.
See, I told you I'm fucking bound to that forever, you know. And, you know, I mean, like, there's no secret that I've been... I remember, like, the next song we're going to talk is going to be probably Johnny Cash or something. And my obvious choice would be Hurt. But I'm like, I mean, like, everyone fucking knows Hurt, you know, so...
So which track did you want to play by Johnny Cash?
Heart of Gold.
Like the Neil Young song?
Yeah, oh. which I honestly think that Johnny Cash version, same like Hurt by Johnny Cash, same like Personal Jesus, actually the only better versions than the originals. So Heart of Gold by Johnny Cash is simply amazing. The original is amazing too, but I love that song. And I love their lyrics too. I should get it tattooed on my back or on my chest or wherever. But it's awesome.
Searching for a heart of gold, and I'm getting old. It keeps me searching for a heart of gold, and I'm getting old.
I remember it was 15 years ago when I was on a boat somewhere in Thailand getting seasick, almost throwing up with my ex-girlfriend. And this Thais there, we were doing like the scuba diving course with Paddy, and scuba divers would just put that song by Neil Young in the loop. Oh. And I have this, you know, this image in my head, like, of me, like, going sick, and, like, Neil Young humming the song.
Heart of Gold.
Yeah, Heart of Gold, and I was like, okay. But then when I came back, I'm like, I love that song. It's beautiful, so it stayed with me forever.
That keeps me searching for a heart of gold, and I'm getting old. That keeps me searching for a heart of gold, and I'm getting old.
You traveled to Scandinavia a few times early in your career. Mm-hmm. What did you expect from, you know, Norway and Sweden? Did you? Because I met this guy from Mexico once who told me that he thought that everyone in Norway had corpse paint, like 24/7. Everyone listened to black metal. That it was this like black metal paradise with.
Well, one of my very first pen pals were Scandinavians. And some bands that like grew really big later on, you know, like, and they were not very big in the like early 90s, but we were on the same stage basically. And I remember we released our first record, Sven David Storming the Baltic, and simultaneously Dimmu Borgir released For Altid. And I remember getting like a full package, you know, like full of like, they released it through No Colors Records from Germany, and I got like a pack of CDs already, and it's like, hey, you want to trade? But I already got like 5 CDs or something. And like, sure I do. And then I sent back our albums, and we stayed in touch ever since. And it was like early 90s, like 94 or 5. And it's been like over 20 years, and we've been friends ever since. We stay in touch, and it's really cool. So it's been Dimmu Borgir, I met Hellhammer there and
from Mayhem.
Yeah, and I had the stop in Gothenburg. I was friends with I met Niflheim guys there, and Luciferian, like this ex death metal band. I mean, they're no more, but former death metal band, really good one by the way. And Michael Nicholson from Dark Tranquillity. I've had lots of friends here, and then I traveled to Bergen and. You know, hooked up with, you know, Gorgoroth guys and Immortal and some others. So yeah, it's been really exciting. You know, it's been, I mean, like the whole Scandinavian scene was super inspiring, and still is, honestly. You know, I'm not here to lick ass, you know, but I must say that like Scandinavian scene in general is probably the most exciting, the most talented scene out there. And I'm not just talking about extreme metal. I'm talking. It feels like, you know, like you guys, you know how to play American music better than Americans, you know. I just can't think of a better band like glam rock or like or stoner or whatever band in US than like helicopters or fucking backyard babies or yeah, there's plenty of them, right? Mustache is awesome. I fucking love mustache. You know why they never like made a big career over there, you know, and they fucking kill most of the stuff in the US. So
but in the early 90s, like extreme metal in Norway and Sweden was also extreme, and like from a criminal point of view, they were actually burning churches and killing each other. How much of that, you know, affected you? Did you, because you write in your book Confessions of a Heretic that you actually had thoughts about torching a church, but you came to your senses and felt that, but maybe that's not the best idea ever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really want to judge anyone here, you know what I mean? It's like, it was an element in early 90s, and even though I never followed it, and I never ended up in jail, fortunately, I decided to just go more intellectual, so to say, and some of the leaders and some of the musicians decided to go that way as well, you know, like, you know, Ethan from Emperor and some other guys, they just went the other direction, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't genuine, it wasn't sincere, it was. They just decided a different path, and I wasn't, like, I've never been, like, really, like, a vulgar, you know, like, kind of guy, you know, so, but, I don't want to say that I supported it, but it feels weird, you know. I'm like, but there's something, you know. If I see a photo of a church on fire, the level of satisfaction definitely increases in me, and some kind of, I don't know what you call it, like it sparks something. It's pretty vital, and it's very rebellious, and it's, I know it's primitive, and I would hate to see firemen die when they, you know, try to stop the fire, but I don't know, it's pretty complex.
I once spoke to Eric Danielson from Watain about this, and he had this friend whose name, or she used to be called Church Burning Sarah, because she torched a church north of Uppsala in Sweden, and the police got her after that, and she had to, you know, pay a huge, she had to pay all the damages and everything. And then he met her like 10 years later and Eric asked Church Burning Sarah if she regretted anything, and she said, well, I had to pay €25,000. That's nothing. I would totally do it again.
I mean, you know, it's I like that kind of, you know, relentless people and how passionate they are. And like church on fire is a very strong metaphor. It's a strong symbol, you know, of this relentless rebellion. And it has never stopped, really. I mean, there's not many church burnings out there, you know, but it's a very strong symbol, you know, and something that we look up to.
Phil, if you're into black metal, if you're into like the occult, very few of the symbols that you play around with would exist if it wasn't for the church.
Of course.
And, you know, if you listen to the new Behemoth album, there are a lot of very, you know, church-like choirs. The whole,
if you see,
spirit is very, very,
of course,
church-like.
Of course. I mean, I never claim otherwise. I mean, but that's where I came from. That's my roots. I mean, I wasn't born in Palestine, you know. I wasn't born in Tel Aviv, you know. I was born in Poland. I was raised Catholic. I was Catholic until like early teenage years. And I know what I'm standing against. But the system and this tradition was inbred in me. And I've always been very fascinated by its aesthetics. I still am. And it's ever-growing interest. And wherever I go and I see like old churches, I always go and visit. And I don't know, like in a few days I'll be in Palermo. I definitely want to see like the catacombs and like all these church-related stories. They're awesome. They're super inspirational. But, you know, that's, I steal a lot from the Bible. I I steal a lot, I take a lot from this well of inspiration, but I just twist the meanings and I just throw it back at them, at my opponents, and I don't mind doing that. I just think that's my spirit. That's my duty. That's in my genes. I don't know. I mean, I don't really analyze it too much, too deeply. Music and art happens to me very intuitionally, and I just grab a piece of paper, I just grab guitar, and it just flows through me and it just comes out of my system. And sometimes it takes me years to realize, oh, that's what I meant through that song. Oh, that's what I meant by taking that picture. So I first act and then think.
This is Turbo Negro, Skinhead Rock and Roll.
From the latest album, right?
Yes.
Rock and Roll Machine.
Out on the streets, hunting the night. You know you gotta chase that feeling. Keep going faster than the speed of light. Can't you feel your head is reeling? No use for the old guard. Too late to meet. No time for the old man. Too late, too soft, too weak. So turn that radio up to 10, cause the boys wanna lose control. Pull up your braces and lace up your holes and witness the power of skinhead rock and roll.
Normally being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Skin and rock and roll. You've played Got Erection live a few times.
Yes, several times. And they noted that. They realized that, and they actually big fans of that version. And I remember why we did that also, because Turbo Negro became like a big soundtrack to the most disastrous and dangerous and craziest parties on the Behemoth bus in, let's say, 15 years ago when we were traveling across America. Like every time there was alcohol and other stuff around and someone would put Turbo Negro, it always ended up with someone being hurt, with something being destroyed. And so we came to the point that, you know, we said, okay, no more Turbo Negro, you know, like it's not allowed on our bus, you know. And but we loved that band. We honestly loved that band. And I remember I came across this Satyricon version of I Get Erection, and I checked it out and was like, it's cool, but it should be done better. So we started, we didn't do a studio version of that song, but we brought it live and it did the trick. It was amazing.
Yeah, come on.
this track, Skinhead Rock and Roll, is probably the funniest song they have ever written, because they sing "Witness the power of Skinhead Rock and Roll," and then they have these cheesy 80s synthesizers.
I love the whole record, but I actually work out a lot to that song very often, and this album is like a huge tribute to like 80s, to Van Halen, to AC/DC, and there's so many like references that I love about that album. And as much as I like the previous one, because it's the second one with the new vocalist, this one easily matches with the classics, with Party Animals, with Retox, with Scandinavian Leather. According to my taste, obviously, you know, I love that record.
How did you feel when you were prosecuted for blasphemy? It's almost 10 years ago now.
Well, I confront that kind of accusations and court cases continuously. So it's
still going on?
Yeah, and not that case. There was
not
a
that
Bible,
case, no.
But there's more coming. There's like every season, there's new. It's they keep me entertained.
Well, there was this thing about your tour t-shirts last year. They accused you of
messing up the Polish emblem.
The Polish
yes.
national symbol, the
yeah.
eagle
yeah, yeah.
that you had on your
Yeah, I won that case shirts. And I wore the Bible case. But there's more coming. And
like what?
Yeah, my friend Tom Gabriel Warrior from Celtic Frost granted me this art piece that is like a wooden penis, and Jesus is just spread on the penis, and it's metal Jesus spread on the wooden like a dildo, but it looks really beautiful, and I think it's very nice. And and I remember I did like a short clip on my Instagram, and I was waving that in front of me, and the shitstorm and the shit has hit the fan, and it's all started, and like it got really political, you know. And there's some politicians that took, like, that made their comments that they're gonna do everything that's humanly possible to put me behind bars for what I did, and I'm like, why me? You know, I didn't even make it, you know. It's like taking something off your wall, you know. I get a lot of photos. Just imagine, you know, you take a photo of something or whatever, and someone gets offended with that. That's bullshit. That's really surreal, you know, because it stays like clear and proud on all my social media profiles. Do not enter, and it's all in Polish, obviously, you know, because only Polish people tend to get offended. Do not enter. If you don't agree with my political or religious views, you may get offended. So please do not enter. So there's a warning. Don't go there, you know. I mean,
they should stay in their Catholic safe space, perhaps.
Probably.
Do these conservative forces realize how much free publicity they give you? Because, I mean, Behemoth was a big band before the blasphemy case.
Yeah, yeah.
But you took on you reached a whole new level internationally after that.
It just went mainstream, really. It went mainstream. But there's advantages and disadvantages of the situation. Why? Because on one hand, obviously, it's a free publicity, and it just builds us an extra platform to reach out to bigger crowds, which is awesome. But on the other hand, it makes us a number one public enemy and easy target for any kinds of psychos and stalkers and all the antagonists. You know, we are number one target, so it's easy to shoot at us, and we're always under the radar, always. So whatever I do, I always like I in the back of my head, I know there's gonna be always like a massive wave of criticism and hate, and eventually another attempts to bring me to the court and punish me.
I know that you were once approached by this fan, or you thought that she was a fan, and then she reaches for her pocket and she pulls out a bottle. And then she tries to throw holy water on you.
Yeah, yeah.
But it, you know, as you point out, it could have been like hydrochloric acid.
Yeah. But that thought came later. First, I was just reacted by, I believe I kicked out that off her hands and I just ran away because I didn't know what's that. But yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, it may get dangerous. It may get out of control, but.
But you don't have bodyguards or anything like that?
Well, when we are on tour, we pay attention to what we do, you know what I mean? And especially in Poland. Otherwise, I feel pretty safe, and I don't really feel there's like any serious danger that's lurking out there in the shadow waiting to, you know, to hurt me. Poland is a tricky place. You know, I love Poland, but I have this very ambivalent relation to my own country. And as much as I think there's a huge potential and this is an amazing country and it should be way further and way higher than what it is now, there's also like this, you know, dark side of it. And dark side is, you know, the conservative and backward thinking tendencies that I'm officially against, and I'm fighting them, and I do not agree.
Here's a song I thought we'd listen to.
How come you found that?
Well, this is one of your favorite tracks from your teenage years, right?
Yeah.
This is Kombi.
Yeah.
What's the track called?
It has a Polish title, it's not gonna tell you much.
Zlodkiego.
Słodkiego miłego życia.
Czy to już znasz, kochanie? Czy nie wiesz, jak to jest? Czy wierzysz im bez granic? Czy zechcesz wierzyć mnie?
A few years ago, you were basically deported from Russia.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Well, there's been some activists that just tried to stop us from playing in Russia, and they consider us being like some kind of like political and religious danger to their system, which is stupid, of course, you know. Why they would fucking care about like some boys with guitars, you know, making some noise, you know. Coming from Poland, I mean, compare Poland to Russia. It's just like comparing bird to a mouse. Just cool down, people. You know, it's like we just came there to, you know, to celebrate music and eventually make some money, and that's it. You know, but no, it got out of control. It got political. They nailed our ears first in Murmansk during the first show, but they didn't arrest us. But they just took out our fingerprints and they just did an interview, and then they. Forewarned us that if we continue touring, we might face problems in other places as well. And we did have problems in Yekaterinburg when we were arrested and we end up in jail for a night. We were convicted the next morning and deported. And apparently it's been a 5-year ban, which should end anytime soon. I guess within next year we should be able to fly back to Russia and play again, but will we? I don't know. It really depends. But I would love to go back there because it's a great country. Actually, I'm a huge fan of Russians. I'm not the biggest fan of their politics and the way country is run. But I mean, I have lots of friends there, and it's really genuine, honest, die-hard, passionate people and huge following and beautiful women and great history, great literature. So I would really love to go back there, especially Moscow. It's just beautiful. Petersburg is beautiful. So, yeah, cross fingers.
Of course, we need to play something that will remind you of your hometown. Danzig. Once in a band called Wolverine that was very Danzig-like.
Yeah.
And Wolverine's third album is on SoundCloud. You can listen to it there.
Really?
And your voice is, you know, you do a pretty good Danzig impression.
Yeah. It was a very, like, fan... It was a Danzig worship band, basically, you know. I remember you had this... In Sweden, there was this band called Glanzig. I don't know if you remember that.
No, I haven't heard them.
There was a band called Glanzig, and that was like a one-to-one imitation of Danzig, and it was done beautifully. It was done like really well with all the details. Amazing. Check it out. It's a Swedish band from, like, I don't know, 15 years ago. They just probably released just one album, and I liked that. So I guess I was pretty much inspired by all this. I'm like, yeah, I want to do that too. So this music has always been there with me, and I've always been a great fan.
And not just because you felt a connection to your city, because, you know, Danzig is the German name of Gdansk.
No. I just love it, like this devilish, you know, rock vibes, and it's still there with me. And, you know, I'm actually highly privileged and you know, to be an honor to be friends with Glenn. I actually met him like 2 weeks ago at Wacken. And caught like most of their show, and it was still awesome. He still got that fire, and I even traveled to LA and Las Vegas to see Glenn with Misfits original and lineup, and Dave Lombardo on drums, and that was wow. I loved it.
Your last album is called The Satanist, but would you describe yourself as a Satanist?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, you know, in terms of actually believing in demons, believing in darkness and trying to, like, you know, some black metal bands do, where they actually try to connect to darker spirits.
Yeah. I mean...
Are you into that as well? Like what Tain is?
Probably in a different ways. We have our own ways. They have their own ways that I truly respect. But we have our own ways. But, I mean, hey, we've been using Satan as a metaphor, as a weapon, as a very strong tool throughout the whole history of the band. It started with the name that represents Satan. And we would just go further and further in the studies of satanic archetypes and Luciferian archetypes and Promethean attitude and all these outcast beings that I've always been drawn to. And to me, it's a very strong metaphor, and it's Satan's always been there on the banner of freedom to me, and it Satan equals freedom to me. Why? Because it's still like the strongest archetype that represents a rebellion in the very place that we are, that we live. You know what I mean? I mean, what I said about Christian traditions, you know, it comes from a Christian tradition, And it was inbred in my system. I didn't ask for that. It was like, boom, it was like a chip. It's in me. But in order to keep balance of my nature, unlike Catholics and unlike Christians, unlike monotheistic religious people, I don't want to castrate my dark side. I want to embrace my dark side, and I want to make friends with my demons, so to say. I'm all saying this. I'm talking like metaphors now, and it sounds like a, you know, it's more poetic way, you know. But I guess, you know, if Gustav Jung would be sitting here, he'd probably be explaining this on a scientific level, you know, and, you know, psychic level, because there must be one, you know. It's like embracing your shadow, and making friends with your shadow, and that's how I see that, and I don't want to castrate it. I came up with this metaphor that I hope that is very that perfectly portrays of how I see that versus Christian tradition. It's like Christianity has always forced human being imagine. Could you live with one leg? You could, right? But it's way better. It's way more comfortable to use both legs. You know, you can run, you can jump, you can do way more options. You know, that's exactly how I see that. You know, Christianity is walking with one leg. I reject that option. I don't want it. You know, I want to be like full healthy, having like all the limbs and making right use of it for right reasons.
13 cultists held a secret meeting, bringing power.
Let's wrap this up by listening to something really satanic, probably the first satanic rock album.
Known as Micaiah, drank the blood of a young baby, offered unto him. They danced ecstatically.
So this is the American band Coven.
Coven.
The album Witchcraft Destroys Minds and Reaps Souls from 1969. Was pulled from the shelves from record stores after the Manson murders because it was considered too controversial.
Like a soundtrack to
the Have murder. You listened to it before?
I didn't listen to it. I know they're back now, but what we did, we actually stole some of their samples and used it in our songs. Ah. And we never asked for permission. So now officially I'd say thank you so much for inspiration and sorry for obnoxiously just taking some of your like pieces as like pieces of the Black Mass that we use during our concerts. We didn't put it on the album, but it's on our concerts.
The head of the family, a witch hunter named Mead, had burned their leader at the stake. Soon he regret his deed. Pain from devil's weevil, thirsting supper till he'd show.
There's a track here called Black Sabbath, and they were not aware of the band Black Sabbath.
Oh, wow.
Also, the bass player called himself Oz Osborne.
Really?
Without knowing, you know, that's a pure coincidence.
Wow.
Coven and Charing Cross. It's, you know, it's very light and the hippie like.
Yeah, groovy. But
still, it has this dark power.
But you know what? Isn't it the same with the Doors? Like, people think the Doors is like a flower power music, but it's dark as fuck. It's very decadent. It's black. And then if you ever been to LA, and you've been to probably LA,
sure.
I mean, like, people go there and they think it's all about just this, you know, it's like a surfer's paradise, blah blah blah, and it's pretty dark place, you know. Despite the sun that's still on, you can sense the darkness there. I do every time I go there. It's a nice place, but there's something lurking there, and it's evil. And I think that the Doors were like manifesting that to some extent.
La 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 la
how did you feel when you discovered that you were growing horns? I read in your book, yeah, Confessions of a Heretic, that you discovered lumps on your forehead that you actually that felt like horns.
Yeah, that's how how leukemia started manifesting on my body. It started with one horn here and the other one like here, and I'm not even joking. I know it's funny. And then it started with this too, and then like it like all over my head, wherever there was hair, there was like this quite big goosebumps. And they stayed there for weeks. So that was actually how...
The first sign of
lymph.
Leukemia.
The lymph was just, you know, there was some kind of... some weird process, you know, that we're just manifesting that in that way. And I was... First, it was funny, but then I was concerned about that. And... but since the situation was very serious and it was near-death situation, I always like to balance it out with something funny. So I remember... I was already sick, and I've already had that all over my head. And we were playing at Metal Days in Slovenia, and it was us, and on the same bill there was Decapitated, our friends.
Polish band.
There was a lot of like cool activities out there, so we both decided to have a paintball match, and it was us against Decapitated. And we won, but it's not the case. The case is that you wear these glasses, but yeah, they don't cover your head. And I remember once I got shot straight in one of these horns that we've just been talking about. And it was super painful. I was like, holy fuck, why it hurts so bad, you know? So it's supposed to be funny. It's fucking awesome to be talking to you, buddy. We surely, Darren, we must come back here and continue because it's just too nice here. It's a beautiful environment. And Frederick Strage, Frederick Bloodbath.
Well, that's in Italian. Strage in Italian.
Strage, bellissimo, Rocco, cazzo. It's been a great talker. And thank you so much for a lot of not standard questions. And it's been awesome. And... you're a talker, I'm a talker. We could probably go on for hours.
Probably, yeah.
But it's been awesome. Thank you so much for hospitality and having me here. Awesome.
Take care.
Haido.
Haido. Dziękuję.
Proszę.
Den här podcasten producerades av Lejon Media i samarbete med Nordic Spirit True White. Producent var Daniel Bäckström och Nargal från Behemoth var hemma hos Strage.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that.
Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.